I'd invite you to turn with me to Acts chapter 18 and just to look at a few verses there with me as we enter into Holy Communion, preparation for communion. This is a story about a guy who had a lot of gifts, like a lot of people that you may know, but was also a guy who had a little deficiency, and like a lot of people that you may know. It's, I think, a very interesting story about Apollos. Paul said in the letter to Corinthians, you know, this guy Apollos, he brought to you the message, and you know, you're arguing about who's more important of the two, and he said me or Apollos, and so he was saying, look, it's not about either one of us, right? It's about the Lord Jesus. It's all about the cross. He always was pointing back to the cross. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but it's the cross, always the cross that we got to look at. And so here is introduced for us the little that we know about Apollos. It may be that his name, full name, was Apollinarius. There we go. Because it's sort of like my name, Tim. Short for Timothy, Apollos is a short for Apollinarius. So I don't know, maybe that was his full name. He only goes by that in the few places that we hear of him as Apollos. But it says a while, and just to put ourselves in the place we've been, meanwhile means when Paul was traveling on his third missionary journey around through what's now the midst of Turkey, going, as it says, Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. So meanwhile, as he's doing this, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. Let's stop and look at Alexandria. Alexandria was sort of like the Cambridge, Massachusetts of the day. You know how Cambridge is home to Harvard, MIT. There's some of our greatest in this nation, at least, if not in the entire world, universities in this region of Boston. And so it was Alexandria was just like this. It was a great seat of learning in antiquity. You may have heard of the lighthouse of Alexandria. You know, they found the ruins of it in the Mediterranean Sea. It's right at the delta of the Nile where it empties into the Mediterranean Sea. So that kind of places it for you. But in that lighthouse, you know, was one of the greatest assemblages of learning, at least of antiquity, there ever was. The great library of Alexandria, which burned, I'm not sure exactly the date, but as it burned, the great writings of Plato.
Perhaps originals were lost. Those of Aristotle, those of all the philosophers of the Stoics and the Epicureans, think about the loss of knowledge that may we wish now we could have, but is forever gone. Well, Apollos would have had access to these writings in the library. Also, this is the seat in which, like 200 years before Jesus, there were so-called 70 scholars. That's why it's called in the Greek, the Septuagint. It's Septuagint meaning 70. The 70 scholars got together and translated the Old Testament into the Greek. And we still, scholars are still to this day using the Septuagint to compare it to the Old Testament in the Hebrew to see if maybe there are differences that could inform how we translate the Old Testament into English.
That's how important the Septuagint is. So 200 years before Christ, Alexandria was a great seat for the Jewish people. Many Jews had, even then, had immigrated to Alexandria. And there was, of course, a contemporary of Jesus himself by the name of Philo, who was one who tried to join together the Old Testament and its law and the prophets and the writings, to join together the thinking that's behind that with Plato and the philosophers, using, he did, unfortunately, a lot of allegory, but still a great mind. And Apollos was then one who was like perhaps even as great a mind as Philo. And being a native of Alexandria, he came to Ephesus. Paul only like ripped through Ephesus on his way to Jerusalem, it says earlier. That was focus. He'll come back to Ephesus. And of course, one of his greatest letters is Ephesians, at least in my take of it. I love just how he's described, we're justified not by works of the law, but by grace through faith alone. Isn't that a great word just to hear in a moment? Perhaps I ought to sound just leave it at that. We're justified by grace through faith alone. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, so that we might not boast, but rather our boast is in the Lord. It goes on to say he was a learned man and with a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures. Some of the translations of learned instead say that he was an eloquent man. And remember, Paul just can't resist himself even sort of comparing himself with Apollos. Remember, he says to the Corinthians, I came to you not with eloquence or fancy words, but I came to you just with what I had to offer. The simplicity of the gospel, always focusing on the cross. Apollos, man, he was somebody who really could rip out an eloquent word for us. And so I think in some ways you can see maybe Paul inadequate when compared to Apollos. But, you hear about, I got to say, I hear about these great preachers on TV and on the radio and whatnot, and I sometimes feel the same way. I wish I was as eloquent or had that huge church that those guys have, but, that's not what it's about ever, is it? It's always about pointing to the cross, just like Paul did. And so I pray that I do. So it is, though, that when we look at Apollos, at least, we see that he was an eloquent man and had a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures himself, was immersed. He may have even been, like Paul, a Pharisee in background. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, it says. And he spoke with great fervor. The word there might be translated better with enthusiasm. And so it was that he taught about Jesus, it says here, accurately. Though he knew only the baptism of John. Let's look at that a moment. He taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. Now, John's preaching, what was it? He said, repent, for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, has drawn near, is near to us. He knew that the Messiah was coming. He baptized Jesus, remember? But his basic message was always about repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It's coming, but it wasn't yet here. Apollos, this is what Apollos' basic message would have been. He knew about Jesus, and he taught accurately in some sense about Jesus. John Wesley had a great hint. One of his great sermons is one of what's called a standard sermons of the 72 is called The Almost Christian. And you know, Apollos was one such. He knew the facts, but he didn't have the heart. How many of us have to ask, how many are like this? Know the facts, but are not experiencing the heart of faith, the joy of knowing the Lord. And the joy, moreover, I think is the more important thing. The joy not only of knowing the Lord, but knowing that the Lord loves you, forgives you. This person, a dear, dear friend of my family, her funeral is on Friday, and the family asked me and my brother to do the funeral, if you will. But I want to share something with you because I think I've run into people who are like she and another. In fact, I know a guy in my home who wouldn't even take communion because he was not worthy of the Lord. Of this sacrament of Holy Communion that we're about to take. Well, I'll tell you what, we aren't worthy. Not a single one of us is worthy. It's a gift of God. It wasn't until later in her life that my mom's Southern Baptist in her background, and I'll give this much to Southern Baptists, is they know their theology. And she talked with Mary Lou many times about the fact that Christ has died for you, Mary Lou. And so you need no longer worry if you're saved. You're saved because Jesus took your sins to the cross for you. And that is it. Brothers and sisters, today, you know, there may be someone in our midst who's wondering, am I saved? And I want to share with you, like Priscilla and Aquila, it goes on to say, when Priscilla and Aquila heard him speaking in the synagogue boldly, they invited him to their home, explained to him the way of God more fully. more adequately. Because he didn't understand that there is a forgiveness offered to us that exceeds the message of John the Baptist. It's the cross. The cross. We always sing of the cross. There is no other way but the cross. When Apollos says wanted to go to Achaia's Greece, the brothers there encouraged him in Ephesus and wrote to the disciples over in Achaia there to welcome him. And on arriving, he was great help to those who by grace had believed. Why do you think he was a great help? Because he was still speaking about the baptism of John? No. The law. Because he had gotten it in his heart that he was forgiven. Totally. By the cross. By what Jesus had done for him and for me and for you on the cross. And there is no other way. Jesus said in the Gospel of John chapter 14, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, he said to Thomas when he asked. This is the same Thomas we call Doubting Thomas. He said to that Thomas when he asked, well, how can we know? Who are you, Jesus? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. We come to the table because of what Jesus has done for us. It's not about us. It's about Christ. What he did for us. Apollos got it that he was a sinner. That was John's message. What he didn't get is that he was a forgiven sinner. And brothers and sisters, every one of us too, me, is a sinner. But we're forgiven sinners because of the cross. And these things, bread, wine, all they are is a symbol of what Jesus has done for us. He died. He went to death to nail the tree. It wasn't a beautiful thing like this, was it? It probably wasn't as beautiful as that up there. No. He bore the beam of the cross on his shoulders, having been scourged with the cat of nine tails and the flesh ripped off of him, having put a crown of thorns placed upon his head, the blood dripping down. All that humiliation to take away what should have been ours to bear. He is, and this is what Apollos didn't get, our atonement. He substituted himself for us. And so, because of that substitution, we live. We live. We live.
And that's why when he came to Greece, you know, where all the philosophers were, where Paul didn't have much success, remember? There in Athens, where he met the scholars of Athens, they just, what, some wanted their ears tickled. I want to hear some more about this. But, you know, there's always a little more. People, how many times have I heard an excuse like that? Or another one that's a great one is, if I came to church, why, the church's roof down on my, well, it sure it's going to, listen, if it wasn't for Jesus, the roof would have fallen on all of our heads long ago. Amen? Yeah. But Jesus, he gave his life for us. And so he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the Scripture. Remember, he was a scholar of the Scriptures. And so he went back to the Scripture to show them that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you so loved not only the world, but you loved each one of us individually so much to send your only begotten Son, Jesus, to substitute himself, to die upon the cross for our sins. And so to make atonement for us. To remove the punishment that we should have borne. Lord, Lord, we pray that all our lives might honor you. Hereafter. That's a part of the joy of salvation. Knowing that our sins are forgiven. We walk under the curse no more. Paul said, I devote my life to you because of what you've done for me. Let us too declare that there is nothing more wonderful than knowing Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so now, we come to this table recalling the words of Jesus at that Last Supper, how he took bread and gave thanks for it. He broke it and gave it to his disciples saying, take and eat, for this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, after supper, he took the cup. And he gave thanks for it and gave it to his disciples, telling them, drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. And so it is in remembrance of what you've done for us that we offer ourselves back to you in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, united with the sacrifice of Jesus himself. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us just like the body of Christ, that we might be for the world. The body of Christ redeemed by his blood, as we recall the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. For it is by Christ, with Christ, and in Christ that all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.